Welcome, one and all, to episode 397 of Signals from Mars. I'm your host, Victor. And for this episode, we welcome back Mr. Jeremy Weltman. We will be talking about new albums that have been released in the month of September of the year 2024. It is great to catch up with Jeremy, and we've got some great music talk next.
I'm ready.
Let's do it!
Before jumping on into the episode, I do want to remind you guys that you still have a few days left to vote for your favorite albums of 1988. What I'm asking people to do is send their 10 favorite hard rock or metal albums. If you send me in no particular order, whatever the first album that appears is going to be your number one. Number one is assigned 10 points. Number two is assigned 9 points, all the way down to 10. Which gets 1 point. I tally all those points up and then come up with the countdown that we will be discussing on October 25th, which is a week from the day that I'm recording this. I need you to submit the list by the 23rd. You can do so by either hitting me up on whatever social media platforms you follow the show on, or just send me an email at signalsfrommars@signalsfrommars.com. And whatever you send me will be great. Should be a fun discussion. You can join us live that night in the chat. That's going to be 5 p.m. Eastern. 2 p.m. Pacific. It'll be 11 p.m. in Europe, Central European time, which means that it will be 10 p.m. in the UK. So if you want to join us in the chat that night, that will be great. And hopefully that whets your whistle to come on board and join us on Patreon, because the people that will be joining me on screen are people that support the show on Patreon. You could do so for as little as $2 a month. We have great music discussions there where I post videos daily. You don't have to wait around for these monthly episodes, because I'm already posting videos on a daily basis. Some of them are cool, some of them not so cool, some things I enjoy. Some of them people just say, the fuck were you thinking about when you suggested this one? So there's a little of everything. And we don't always have to agree. That's what makes things fun. We can discuss things that we like and things that we don't like, and that's what it's all about, just cool music discussions. This episode, we discuss albums that were released in September of 2024, and it's a good month for new music. So hopefully this episode helps turn some of you people on to some things maybe you didn't know have had come out, or bands you didn't even know of. But a lot of music from this month went into my 2024 playlist. I'll say that. Aside from the Patreon donation, you could also help the show out by picking up some merch. We've got plenty of different items, from t-shirts to caps to sweatshirts to different types of jackets, so on and so forth. Do a PayPal donation. You can also do a buy me a pizza. Buy me a coffee, but pizza instead. Or you can use our Amazon links that are up there on the website. The Amazon links, just know that I'm an Amazon associate, so I get a kickback if there's something that you purchase that is eligible for a kickback. How about that? So if you want to help us out, that would be swell. And that's pretty much it. We're going to jump on into the episode. Thanks for listening to us. Submit your top 10 list of 1988. Go to signalsfrommars.com to check out all the great stuff related to the show. Let's jump on into the episode, folks. Welcome one and all to the latest episode of Signals from Mars. I'm your host, Victor, and joining me is Mr. Jeremy Weltman. Jeremy, how are you today, sir?
Yeah, good. Thanks, Victor. Just getting over a little bit of a sort of flu COVID type thing, but feeling quite good. And escaped two hurricanes in Florida as well, because I was there in between two of them. So, yeah, it's been an eventful few weeks. How are you doing?
Well, one of those hurricanes has reached me. It hit us yesterday. A lot of rain, a lot of wind. Thankfully, nowhere near as strong as what it was in Florida. Although I do have a street sign that is tilted now because of it swaying back and forth from all the wind. So, yeah. So hopefully all of our friends, family, listeners in Florida are doing well. Supposedly the latest hurricane, Milton, I believe, has been downgraded. Let's hope that it keeps downgrading and that it doesn't affect anyone, or at least the least amount of possible.
Yeah, absolutely. Anyway,
so we're here to talk about September 2024. And I have to say a lot of good music came out this month. I was surprised. There's some weeks where I could almost say, you know what? This was possibly the best week of total releases that was stronger than any other week. Now, that doesn't mean that the strongest release of the year has come out this month, but there's still a lot of good music that's come out. So we're here to help you guys out, let you guys know, break free from the rest of the lazy listeners and check out some cool music that is coming out that just came out last month. So, anyway, let's start out with September 6th, where we had a self-titled release by Blitzkrieg. We had Mog's Motel, also self-titled. We had Dream Theater keyboard player Jason Rudess release Permission to Fly. And we also had releases from God Dethroned, God is an Astronaut, Timo Tolki, Boston Manor, Moose Cult, Grendel's Sister, Phaethon, Black Sun, Pyron, I guess, Fame on Fire, Elephant Tree, Nubulith, Future Palace, reissues from Artreyu, live album from Mr. Big, compilation, which I need to check out, I haven't had a chance to listen to yet, was Fast Eddie Clark, with Make My Day, the rock and roll story of Fast Eddie Clark, and various artists with Surrender to Death, a history of Atlanta metal. Underground Volume 1. Jeremy, what are some of the albums that you listened to this week?
Yeah, so I started out the month listening to Black Sun by Black Sun, which is, of course, the very likely pairing of a Finnish and Ecuadorian melodic heavy metal band. I'm not really certain about sort of their history, to be fair, but it seems like they've added a female singer, Netta Loren, recently. And while inevitably, you know, there's a bit of sort of generic basis to much of this material, it's actually, you know, pretty good listen, I think, overall. It kind of retains that essential heaviness without moving into, you know, pop territory. if you still need persuading, I suggest you sort of check out the song Awake, which, you know, has sort of added growling and real sort of premium riffing on it. So, yeah, that was a big sort of thumbs up from me for, you know, straight from the off, really. I then moved on to the eagerly awaited solo album from Phil Mogg, you know, Mogg's Motel, should I say, not Hotel. The band that also features Tony Newton, as we know, and Neil Carter. After all the tragedies that have seen in recent years, including Mogg's heart attack, as it happens, it's great to hear him sort of produce some new music, given his age as well. You know, he's getting on a bit now. That distinctive voice is still there, and it'll really be interesting to see if the band does any live shows as well before he finally retires. The album itself, it's mostly a sort of a very decent hard-rocking album. It's certainly a little bit distinguishable from UFO, which is good in a way. But for fans of the band, you know, like myself, it's as close as we're ever going to get to a bit more UFO as well, at least in terms of new music, bearing in mind, of course, you know, Michael Schenker's re-recorded those sort of UFO classics as well recently. So, I mean, that Mogg's Motel could have been my album of the week and possibly Black Sun as well, really. But instead, I'm choosing Blitzkrieg by Blitzkrieg, the new Wobbon band that were originally from Leicester. They're now based in Newcastle. Surprisingly, this wasn't the title of their debut many moons ago, which I had to look back to see because I actually thought it was. But then I realized I think they did a single called Blitzkrieg back in the day. And it sort of follows in the footsteps of Lionheart, Grand Slam, Praying Mantis, Demon and other bands this year that, you know, there's been some really strong releases from British bands. I think this is the year of the British band, I'm going to suggest. You know, there's obviously lots of other bands coming out all over the place, but, you know, we don't always get a lot of these sort of bands from the UK all in one year. Blitzkrieg itself has, you know, it's had zillions of band members since 1980. If you have a look on, you know, you'll see them all listed. There's a humongous amount of band members. And it's actually 6 years since their last studio release. I confess, I haven't heard a lot of them since they debuted in 1980. You know, it's not a band that I've really followed. But if this is anything to go by, I really need to go back and listen to some more. And I haven't had a chance yet, but I'm hoping maybe over the weekend I might, you know, dip in and listen to a little bit more. It's very up-tempo. It's old-school quality metal. It sort of belies their, what I would suggest were a little bit sort of amateurish beginnings, really, you know, at the outset. Fine rhythm section, great production. And, you know, what's more, I think it's a sort of very listenable bunch of songs, even if, you know, some of the subjects and lyrics are, you know, a fairly well-trodden path. And it does fade a little bit towards the end, but, you know, don't many albums. So overall, you know, I really enjoyed it, and I'd say that's my pick of the week.
Interestingly enough, when you mentioned Netta from Black Sun, I'm like, can't be a coincidence, because that's a self-released album. That's strange that that isn't on Frontiers. She has been on in certain Frontiers projects that I've posted on Patreon over the years. There is a video that kind of stood out to us when I was helping Mark Striegel with his Patreon stream. How could I say this without getting into trouble? But The video
get into trouble, Victor. Get into trouble.
The video stood out for the fact that she was wearing a completely see-through top, which was not censored at all.
Okay.
So, there you go. Anyway, I purposely did not check out Mogg's Motel because I did want to hear your review before checking it out. I know that I will. But I got to listen to a few different things. I got to listen to Boston Manor, Sundiver. That comes from Sharptone Records. And from Sharptone, I don't know if it's Records or whatever. That's Sharptone's name of the label. Yeah, so I've posted videos of theirs. They released an EP not that long ago, which was very 90s influenced. So it gave me a reason to kind of check the album out. And the full length was okay. It just seemed like it strayed away from what kind of got me into the band. A little too polished, a little too commercial rock for me. Then I checked out Grendel's sister, Katabasis, Into the Abaton. This is very new album feeling, very throwback, early 80s sound. Not bad. More like a pub band, as you would say. And I could kind of say the same for the third album that I checked out, which was from Phaethon, Wielder of the Steel. Very new album, power metal feel to the whole thing. Not bad. Not anything that I'd probably go back and check out again. I don't know. Nothing really truly kind of jumped out at me, but I'll give the edge to Grendel's sister only because it was just pure heavy metal, sounded good. Something that I think is a good listen to. How about that? I recommend you checking it out. All right. Yeah. Let's move on to September 13th here. Big week. Releases from Flotsam and Jetsam, I Am the Weapon, Striper, When We Were Kings, Crobot, Obsidian, the Jesus Lizard with Rack, Oceans of Slumber, Victory with Circle of Life, Satan with Songs in Crimson, Winter Filleth, Wolfbridge, Legions of Doom, Zetra, Big Big Train, Bones UK, A Killer's Confession, Hammer Philosophy, reissues from Gwar, live albums from Black Sabbath, The Damned, and Go Ahead and Die. Jeremy, what did you check out this week?
Yeah, well, as you say, it was a busier week for releases, this one. And so I started out by listening to what we might call the elephant in the room, When We Were Kings by Striper. I've mentioned it before, and I'll say it again. Vocalist Michael Sweet is not everyone's cup of tea, that's for sure. And neither is Striper. Yeah, we know that. But the devoutly Christian band certainly rock when they want to, I would point that out. I've never been a particular fan myself. I have listened to Michael Sweet since in his more his solo stuff. They sort of emerged among thousands of similar sounding bands really at the time. But I very much listened to this with open ears, and I have to say it's an enjoyable, holy listen. So all I would say, I'm not going to go on about Striper, just give them a break, delve in, and you might quite enjoy them. That's all I'm going to say. So okay. I followed that up with I Am the Weapon by Flotsam and Jetsam. Now, as we know, this is the band from Phoenix. It's very much stayed true to its melodic thrash roots since the 1980s. I know you like them as well, Victor. I mean, they've been releasing albums every 3 years in recent times. It's their 15th studio album now, which I, found quite surprising. But then, they have been going a while. Yeah, you kind of know what you're going to get as well, don't you? I mean, right. They have that sort of distinctive sound, yeah. But, it's what makes them one of those sort of heavy metal comfort blankets that we've mentioned before, which we kind of like on this show. They combine those sort of rehashed thrashy riffs with heaps of what I suggest are sort of, Firewind-style melodies. And it's hard really not to like them overall. I suppose, it's equally hard to make a case for them being the very best album of the year, but, it's an enjoyable listen. So I'd suggest everyone goes out and has a delve into that one. Songs in Crimson by Satan. Another great release. This is sort of stripped back metal to sort of defying modern production techniques. I would suggest it's, sort of furious, bombastic, sort of potent brew, mysticism and 80s British metal influences. It's very different. It's low budget. It's a sort of gloriously distinct brand of music that, has remained quite firmly tied to its roots, I think. I hear cries of amateurish from you, Victor, but all I can say is turn it up. And, Go and see them live and be thankful the basics are still being played with such dexterity and enthusiasm in the modern digital age. Definitely give them a listen. Satan, fantastic. You actually put them on your Patreon, you know, in the Patreon group as well. So if yes. anyone wants to join that Patreon group, they would get that first as well, which is interesting. Circle of Life by Victory is the one I move on to. It's another very pleasant listen from the German band that features the former Accept guitarist Hermann Frank. It's more of the same sort of up-tempo melodic harmony on the previous release, Gods of Tomorrow, which in turn was the first album in a decade, actually, and it marked a second reunion for the band. I heard that album, the previous one, on the fine music channel Yarg Metal, which we're quite well aware of on this show, and also in your Patreon postings as well, Victor, I believe. This, of Absolutely. Course, is right in my ballpark, which is no surprise to you. It's just as solid, just as tight, this album, as the previous one, and sufficiently heavy, I would say, the sort of music to sort of blast out loud after a hard week at work. For some listeners, maybe Gianni Pontio is an acquired taste on vocals, but for me, he's a, you know, he's quite a perfect fit for this type of music. And in a world in which, you know, past masters of the metal world are sometimes failing to deliver the goods, I'd say this is quite a high octane feast that will appeal to, you know, most hard rock lovers, especially if you like bands such as, you know, Corleone, that sort of type of music. So in that vein, unsurprisingly, it's my pick of the week, Victory.
There you go. Now I have to have Delivering the Goods stuck in my head. All right. So I listened to a bunch of different things this week. I listened to The Jesus Lizard with Rack. That's off of Ipecac. That's Mike Patton's label. Listened to Legions, of Doom with The Skull 3. That's off of TP Records. Solid Doom release. I listened to the Flotsam & Jetsam, I'm the Weapon, and I enjoyed it. I think you pretty much hit the nail on the head. There's nothing new that they're doing here. You know what to expect from the band. That isn't a bad thing, but definitely, you know, it's a good album. The album that is my pick of the week is an album that half of it was album of the year material, and then the last half just tailed off. I think the first half of the album is really, really good. And then all of a sudden, it seemed like they ran out of ideas. The songs aren't bad. They're just not as strong as the other half. It is the album Obsidian by Crobot. Crobot has tried a lot of different over the years, and this is the first time that they've come back and truly done something straight up hard rock. I think if you... how could I put this? If you're looking to get a early Skid Row feel, a kind of a GNR type feel, there's a lot of that going on here without being overly, you know, overly, 80s LA. I think a lot of people will enjoy it. So again, this is my pick for the week. It is Obsidian by Crowbar. The 20th saw releases from Seether with The Surface Seems So Far, Nightwish with Yesterwind, Michael Schenker with My Years in UFO, Brant Bjork Trio with Once Upon a Time in the Desert, Eclipse with Maglomanium 2, Onto Others, Never Neverland, Charlotte Wenzel, The Obsession, Vision Divine with Blood and Angels Tears, Brighton Dies with Agonies Bespoke, Groza with Nadir, The Black Pacific with Here Comes Our Wave, reissues from Dog Eat Dog with Walk With Me, and live albums from Skid Row live in London and Rainbow with Live in Munich 1977. Jeremy, what did you check out this week?
Yeah, so I started out the week listening to Michael Schenker's My Years with UFO, an album of re-recorded classics, as we know, each one with a different vocalist. When I first heard these, I kind of liked it a lot, but notably because I thought Schenker had injected some life into these tunes, mostly by keeping sort of true to the originals, but also, you know, giving a bit of a one-take studio feel to it and occasional new frills added to the odd song or two. It's also interesting, I thought, hearing a range of top-notch vocalists in their own right sort of trying out these. The best for me being Europe's Joey Tempest on Only You Can Rock Me. You know, I thought he was good on that. I think he'd be good as a UFO singer, you know, overall. But much as I enjoyed it, I couldn't help thinking, you know, why not just buy Strangers in the Night and hear the original band playing all these tunes? Because, you know, that was there's nothing to match Schenker, Pete Way and Phil Mogg all together. So it all seemed a bit rather pointless in the end. If
Andy Parker and Paul Raymond as well. Let's throw them in there.
There you go. Yeah, there you go. Add them all in and you've got a great band. The only thing I can think of, you know, if he does play these live, it'll be a welcome thing, you know, just to hear him play a whole set of UFO. We might get onto that topic a bit later as well. I moved on to the Swedish band Eclipse with their latest release, Megalomanium 2. On the heels of Megalomanium that was released in 2023. I think I mentioned in your Patreon group, Victor, I can't decide if I like this band or not. I mean, I bought Wired in 2021 and, you know, I certainly like that album. And I think they're a sort of very decent melodic hard rock outfit when they really rock out, you know, a bit like their sort of compatriots Heat from Sweden as well. I'm not sure. Sometimes, you know, they're a little bit wimpy as well on some of the tracks. And so bit of a mix, I'd say, bit of a mix, okay. Which is fine. Then listen to Blood and Angels Tears by the Italian band Vision Divine, which must be sort of doing something right as they've been active since 1999, apparently, which sort of shocked me. It's probably fair to say it's the kind of album, you know, I do enjoy from time to time. And you, Victor, probably don't. But, you know, hey. We're here to promote all types of rock in the the rock and metal genre, and to all listeners as well. You know, and they're all different. Still, I think though, even you might get a little something out of it. Most of the songs are quite heavy as it happens. They're quite engrossing, and even if progressive power metal is not quite your thing, the melodies sort of hit home quite well. The guitars are fluid. You know, and for me, the keyboards are fairly carefully integrated into it without being too prominent. So, you know, it's an album with a lot of dubbed vocals mixed in, sort of vying for supremacy. But I think it all works pretty well, to be honest. So, you know, there's obviously going to be generic aspects to this type of music, but I think they do it well. It's an enjoyable listen. It's an act that I would certainly listen to on a festival bill. And for a change, I'm going to pick this one as my album of the week.
Okay, cool. All right, so I got to listen to a few of these just to give you my take on the Schenker album. Similar to what you said, although there are some vocalists that repeat towards the end. Some of these work really well. Joey Tempest with Only You Can Rock Me is really good. As you pointed out, Natural Thing with Dee Snider I liked a lot. Love to Love with Axl Rose I love a lot. I think you could have a shoebox mic'd on that track and it would still be phenomenal. I just love that song so much. And that main, well, one of the main verse riffs is a huge influence on a lot of different guitarists who have regurgitated that. My biggest issue is this. Lights Out with Jeff Scott Soto sounds really bad. His vocals just destroy the song for me. He's singing ultra low, which there's really no need to do so. The two Jolin Turner songs made me think of exactly what you said before. Why would I play this again if I can just put on Strangers in the Night and get that young, hungry energy that the original UFO had back in the day? There are a few others, the Michael Voss track as well. There are a bunch of vocalists that sound a lot alike, and you would think, okay, well, they kind of sound like Phil Mogg. Well, they don't. They just kind of come across as generic singers to me, which kind of diminishes the songs a little bit. But again, there are some tracks that I do really, really enjoy. I heard that Eric Cronwall was going to be the vocalist for the tour, at least the European leg. That should be good. What else? I listed the Brant Bjork Trio because I did get to interview Brant Bjork years ago with a previous trio release, and it was okay. You know, kind of paint-by-number stoner rock. Really not terrible, but really nothing new that we're listening to here. Seether. I think that Seether's debut album is one of the best debut albums of all time, especially from a rock band. They've never recaptured that start to finish, but every album has at least a few tracks that sound great. The Surface Seems So Far is similar to that. It's got three songs that I think made my... No, there's more. There's four tracks that made my 2024 playlist here and will ultimately go into my Seether playlist as well. But my pick of the week is On to Others with Never Never Land. Man, if you're into like Sisters of Mercy, if you're into some Type O Negative, it's a mix of gothic rock with straight up hard rock. There's a lot of different things going on here, and they cover Ramones towards the end of the album. It's not bad. The deluxe version is what I listen to on Apple Music, and it does go a little long for me. But still, I mean, the album is solid for the most part. So that is on Duna, and that's my pick of the week. Cool. So moving on to the last week in September, we had new releases from Richie Kotzen with Nomad, The Return of the Black Dahlia Murder with Servitude, Oceans with Happy, Bewitcher with Spellshock, Harriet with Devoured by the Mouth of Hell, or Devoured by the Mouth of Hell, Sirius Black with Rise of Akhenaten, I don't know how to say that, Turbo Kill with Champion, High Parasite with Forever We Burn, Awake the Dreamer with Holocene, also releases from Our Hollow, Our Home, Ripped to Shreds, EPs from Serge Tankian with Foundations, Sleep Theory with Paper Hearts, reissues from UFO and Storm Corrosion, live album from UFO, and actually I messed that up because there are two reissues from the band Pentagram as well. So for me, I got to listen to, or no, let's go to what you got to listen to first. I kind of jumped the order there. Sorry.
I don't care. If you want to go first, that's fine. But if you want me to go, that's fine as well. So Nomad by the prolific Richie Kotzen was a real disappointment to me. I can't say I've followed everything he does in the past, but I kind of like his heavier moments. I like the blues he's done with Iron Maiden, Axeman, Adrian Smith. I like his voice. You know, I've liked some of the stuff in the past that I've dipped into. There are one or two highlights here. On the Table is, you know, a kind of a typical Kotzen funk rock. And when he does that kind of track, track. He's a winner. You know, he's a real winner. I like that sort of stuff. But there just wasn't enough of it here. This is too much navel gazing and snoozing on the summer veranda to be of any decent stuff. But, you know, dip in, pick out a couple of songs for sure. But, you know, you won't like much of the album. Much better, though, was Rise of Akhenaton by Sirius Black. This is the melodic power metal band that's been active now for a decade. As you're no doubt aware by now, Victor, I do like this genre of yes. rock and metal, and there are some really good songs on this. This is their seventh album. It, you know, it has some great vocals. It's pretty well produced, you know, given that they haven't spent zillions of dollars on it. At the end of the day, it's all about the songs as well, and there are quite a few here that are worth listening to, including Shields of Black with its soaring chorus to really remind you there is a, you know, a hell of a lot of good music out there, which is why we're here, of course, doing these monthly reviews, and it's good new music. I'm gonna then move away from that and pick something which is a re-release as my album of the week. I could have picked Sirius Black, and you know, I want people to go out and listen to it, but it was a bit of a lean week, and the re-release I'm picking is Seven Deadly by UFO. It was their 20th studio album. It was released in 2012, and I think it was a really decent bunch of songs from, you know, the band at the time. It actually got to number one in the UK rock and metal charts as well, so I think wow. it's obviously one that appeals to, you know, the British listener. The re-release contains a few bonus tracks, but they're nothing special. It's really the 10 originals that demonstrate the band's talents for, you know, writing very listenable rock tunes. Sure thing, this is far from the heyday songs written with Schenker. Let's put that out there, you know, and let's forget about that. You know, they went past that era, but you can't help listening to tracks like Wonderland, Burn Your House Down, or even Waving Goodbye, which, you know, you will have a tear in your eye, really, knowing that this was a band that they kept going through thick and thin through all the lean years when metal waned. And they laid out the path for all these great new bands that we listen to every week. And for that reason, the late, great UFO, because they are finished, is my album of the week.
Okay. Cool. So I listened to Oceans with Happy. That's on Nuclear Blast. Oceans, I really like some of their previous music. This one kind of just didn't connect with me. I got to listen to Champion by Turbo Kill. That's something that is similar to Sirius Black, so I recommend you checking it out. I also listened to, let's see, the Serge Tankian Foundations EP. That's off of Gibson Records. That was okay. Probably one of his, I don't want to say solid, but more like System of a Down releases that he's ever put out. And my pick of the week is going to be High Parasite with Forever We Burn. That is on Candlemass Spine Farm. Candlelight Spine Farm. I'm thinking of the band Candlemass. So this is an interesting album. It's got touches of industrial rock. It's got touches of extreme metal with some guttural like vocals, and it's got some over the top electronics in parts and distorted vocals in parts. Stuff that really catch my ear more so than my eye. But yeah. So cool album, some really cool tracks off of it that I enjoyed and was surprised with it. I had posted, I think, at least one video on Patreon, and it's kind of the reason why I checked the album out, and sounded pretty cool beginning to end. So there you go. My pick of the week is High Parasite with Forever We Burn. Real quickly here, let's go over our picks. The first week you picked
Blitzkrieg
by Blitzkrieg. I was going to say it wasn't Mogs Modell. I picked the Grendel's Sister. Second week here, I went with Crobot and Obsidian. And you went with Victory with Circle of Life.
Yeah.
Third week, you went with, let's see here.
Vision Divine.
Vision Divine with Blood and Angels Tears. And I went with Onto Others with Never Neverland. And the final week, you went with Sirius Black. And
well, yeah, in the end, I chose UFO, but I'm glad you said that because I want to go with Sirius Black, Akhenaton, because it's new music. Let's go with that. It's new music.
Okay. Yeah. I was thinking, I wasn't paying attention. Was it Sirius Black? But no. Okay. There you go. Sirius Black. Not that I wasn't paying attention. I just forgot.
Yeah.
And my pick was High Parasite with Forever We Burn. Cool. So guys, if you haven't checked some of these albums out, you have your work cut out for you. Let us know what you think. And real quickly here, as we always enjoy doing, we have some other topics and questions to discuss. And let me just prepare myself to ask these as opposed to what I've done up to now. Long day, folks. Long day. Anyway. So we've talked about Shanker and UFO. Michael Shanker has floated the idea of doing one more show with UFO, with doing these tracks. It's an interesting idea. Yeah, man. Given what we just talked about, this new Michael Shanker release, if we had Phil singing these songs in 2024, would we feel differently about this release?
Yes, I think I would. But then again, would I need to hear them on a record, because they've done that record together? So, you know, whether they need to actually re-record them is another thing. I think that Phil Mogg's voice is so UFO that anyone else singing it just doesn't sound quite right to me. I mean, I, as I said, I like the Joey Tempest version. I thought, because Joey's got a great voice. He's got a great voice for melodic hard rock. So he fits in very neatly into that. But for me, it's all about Phil Mogg, because he's got a very distinctive voice, Phil. You know, he doesn't sound like anyone else. So the problem with all this is that we know Schenker's going out on the road doing this anyway with Eric Grunwald. Right. So you're going to get to see them live doing that. And we know that Mogg's getting on a bit, and he's doing this Mogg's Motel. So whether he's going to want to take out Mogg's Motel and just do a few dates, he sounds as if, because he's been ill, he doesn't want to do too much. Whether they just do the odd show, I don't know. What they're going to do, maybe do a festival, maybe do, five dates around the UK. Who knows? I'd love to see it. Because Schenker and Phil together, to me, a UFO, classic UFO.
It's the closest we're going to get, right? And I'm thinking that, well, as I was listening to these songs, I kept thinking, man, I miss Phil's voice on this. This is too generic. Like, the playing was great. Like, I'm not going to take anything away from Michael's playing or even what Slash did on this album, and also Joe Hoekstra also guests on it. Their playing is phenomenal, but the vocals, some of these tracks just fall short. I think Eric is going to do a good job with this, and depending on what band Michael has around him, it could be really cool. But I mean, even with what he's done with his Temple of Rock stuff, would you mind having Phil sing some songs with them, with Robin McCauley and maybe one of the other vocalists, maybe swap Phil in instead of one of the other guys that you've seen with them?
I don't think that's going to happen. I, I, I don't want to see that because I think that if Phil and Phil and Michael Schenker get together, they'll only play UFO together. That's all that's going to happen. I mean, you got to bear in mind that Phil Mogg is a very strong character of his own right, and he won't sing any of Schenker's songs. It'll just be UFO, and I think that's right. That would be good. But, you know, Schenker himself has played UFO songs for years. You know, he plays three or four tracks every show. He always plays Doctor Doctor. But he doesn't play it with Phil. And it's just interesting that he reached out to him through the magazine. It's almost like I haven't read the article yet, to be honest, because I've got the magazine in question. So I'm eager to read it because I think the essence of it is that he's reached out through managers, but the word hasn't got out to Phil yet. That's the kind of essence of it. It's one of those, you know, where they sort of talk through a separate medium because they're trying to put feelers out. It's a question of whether Phil's come through his heart attack and he just believes, you know, I've got a year or two left to do stuff. Michael says he wants to do it with me. Hey, let's do it. We can earn a bit of cash here and we can have a bit of fun.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the whole thing. You know, the heart attack, can he even tour anymore? And like you said, you know, with Mogg's Motel, is it just a few shows that he'll do and that's it? And maybe he can't even do shows with Michael. I don't know. So we'll see. Iron Maiden doing the 50th anniversary tour in 2025. I have to say, I mentioned this today during my VMR podcast. I checked out the set list and I was personally disappointed because the press release that they put out said that they were revisiting like early tracks and stuff like that, songs that they won't be playing ever again on tour. And I'm thinking, oh my God, they're going to bust out To Tame a Land, or, you know, they're going to bring out, I don't know, the Duelists or something like that. The set list is going to focus on the early, on the first few albums going up to Seventh Son.
Yeah, it's the first nine albums, isn't it?
Nine albums. Okay, yeah. So this is what they played yesterday.
I didn't realize it actually started this part of the tour yet. So, okay, this is interesting.
Caught Somewhere in Time, Stranger in a Strange Land, The Writing on the Wall, Days of Future Past, The Time Machine, The Prisoner, Death of Celts, Can I Play with Madness?
Stop, Victor. You've confused the two tours. Somewhere Back in Time Future Past Tour.
Okay.
I think this is the Future Past Tour they're still on. The next tour is going to be different. It's the first nine albums.
All right. So
the one you're quoting now has got stuff off the new album. It's the Future Past Tour. Yeah.
Which, okay.
So that's the one I saw. That's the one I saw last year.
Right.
So we haven't got the set list yet for the new tour, which is going to be next year.
Okay. So let's just see. Let me see. Cause I'm not going to say that. Okay. So you are correct. So I'm getting my panties in a bunch here for no reason whatsoever.
This is good because you're going to get really excited about the new tour now because you're on a downer. So this is great.
Yeah, because it says world tour dates for the 50th anniversary. Run for Your Lives tour.
Yeah.
And this is still Future Past. Okay, you are correct. You are correct, sir. So I was reading this set list and I was getting awfully annoyed. Because I was seeing a lot of the new album here.
not half as annoyed as me, because I sat through that show and I had to sit through, you know, 10, 12 minute songs. There's a few songs I had, like Death of the Celts and a few others. You would have hated it. But actually, you know, it's still Maiden. It's still live music. So, you know, it was a good show. It was a good show. But it wasn't the show that I wanted to see. And the show that I want to see is coming up next year. I think it's going to be better. Definitely better.
Yeah. So let's see. Days of Future Past, The Time Machine, Writing on the Wall, Death of Celts. And Hell on Earth. So they played five songs off of Shit Jitsu.
Yeah. And Alexander the Great lasted probably a whole lifetime of a 9-year-old child.
Right. Fear of the Dark is another awfully long track. Caught Somewhere in Time is really long, but I love that song.
Yeah.
But I mean, here's the thing with this set list. Yeah. Fear of the Dark. You know, I used to love that song. Thought it was great to hear people chanting along with it. But.
By the way, Writing on the Wall was very good live. That's a really good live song. It's much better live than on record.
Okay.
But Death of the Celts. You can dispense with that one. That's fine.
Yeah. So that's the thing. You've got five songs plus Alexander the Great, Fear of the Dark. That's like an hour's worth of music right there.
Yeah.
Six, seven songs.
Yeah.
Why are they closing on Wasted Years, which is like 3 minutes long, The Trooper, which is 4 minutes long, Iron Maiden, which is 2 minutes a lot, you know, it doesn't even get to 3 minutes.
Yeah, just closing out with a few hits. But I guarantee next year's tour is going to be something special. It's going to be great.
I'm hoping. I'm hoping.
It's going to be good. Yeah.
Let's hope I don't end up sticking my foot in my mouth again. And if I do, well... hope it's because they're actually doing what they promised.
Yeah.
Speaking of Maiden, let's talk about reissues. Because reissues and shipping of albums, there's a local place that's handling all the reissues of the first seven Maiden albums. And the prices aren't bad. They're like between 22 to 26 euros.
Hmm.
Amazon has the last year's reissue or 2 years ago reissue of Number of the Beast, which is a triple album and costs 84 euros, which is just ridiculous.
Hmm.
You know, this is what I don't get, and it will be my constant gripe with Iron Maiden. They've released and re-released their albums countless times, and nobody gives them shit over it. And it isn't cheap either.
No.
And Killers, for example, they re-released Killers in the US. Oh, it's a reissue of the original Killers release in the US. So it's missing Twilight Zone. It's like, why would you do that? Why? The release of Number of the Beast no longer has Total Eclipse on it because the original didn't have it. You've been selling it like that for 30 years. Release it with Total Eclipse. Come on.
Yep.
Besides that, these shipping costs are just way too much. So what was your recent experience with that?
Yeah, it was an album I wanted to buy. I mean, it was the shipping cost. I can't remember the exact price now, but we're looking at 30-odd euros shipping cost or something, around 30 euros. So, you know, it's the price of an album just to ship it. I mean, it's just ridiculous. And then you add that on to the price of the album, which wasn't cheap. I mean, it was a, you know, it was a special edition type, you know, with a nice colored vinyl, which, you know, we like to collect, obviously. If we're going to have a choice between black or colored vinyl, we like a nice colored vinyl because we're, you know, proper metal fans. And, you know, we want to keep those albums and play them and show them off and whatever we want to do with them. You know, we're into that sort of stuff. But we don't want to be taken to the cleaners over this either. I mean, you know, we were talking, I think, just around the time, just after the, you know, the pandemic, albums were like $20 or 20 quid or 20 euros, weren't they? And you'd pay 24, 25 for a colored one. And now you're looking at 30, 35, but then it's the shipping on top. And like you say, some of the Iron Maiden ones, I've seen them for like £60, £65 for the current album, Senjutsu. What is going on here? You know, and then I went to America and I went to Walmart. Other shops are available, but, you know, Walmart is the one available that's selling them cheap. You know, you could get an AC/DC gold release, Highway to Hell. I think it was $24 in the, you know, it's like 20 quid. There you go. There, you got one. You got a Metallica one. That's fantastic.
$22.97.
There you go. That is a reasonable price for an album. Perfect.
It is.
You want to buy it?
I'll do you one better. And I mentioned this to you off the air the other day.
Injustice for All, double green album.
Yeah.
$27.97.
So it's £24 in the UK for a double colored vinyl. It's fantastic. From a big band as well. We're not talking a small band here.
That's 50 euros in Europe.
Yeah.
That same release, green vinyl. It is 50 euros.
Yeah.
The re-release, the limited edition re-release that's coming out in Europe for Somewhere in Time with the Future Past poster and yellow vinyl cost me $29. In Walmart, I saw that they're re-releasing it here in Europe. It costs, I think it's 70.
Hmm.
It's $29 in the US.
Yeah. Yeah. So, go on.
No, they're forcing people to do this stuff. They're forcing people. Again, we mentioned this a bunch of times. You're forcing people to not buy. If you sell it for a reasonable price, people will buy it. But if it comes to the point and they're taking advantage that they have fans that are willing to plop down the money, people that are our age or older, who are willing to shell out the money because they're collecting it. And, I need to have this edition. This is the only edition of Number of the Beast that I do not own. So I must have it. Jesus. I think it's the management, the labels, you know, and the band, obviously they're not going to come out and say, you know, oh, don't buy it because, you know, it's helping heat their pool. Essentially, it's helping them through their third and fourth marriages with some of those members. But man, stand up for your fans and say, no, it's enough. We don't need to do this. We've, you know, because I can't imagine that they're selling all of this stuff. What happens to the picture disc reissues that they did a few years back? What happens to all the CD reissues? To me, it's madness.
Yeah.
Well, you're saying, can I play with madness? So.
And do you remember a few years back, Victor, people used to give away CDs because they were earning money live. And, you know, are we ever going to get to the stage where they might just give away some vinyl at shows because they, you know, they're earning the money from the shows? These big bands, they don't need to. I remember U2, they gave away their latest album, the CD. You know, they just said you can get hold of it for free.
Well,
I think Muse did it as well. I've got a Muse CD, which I think was free.
That U2 album was not great.
No, it wasn't. But, you know, they didn't issue it on that basis. That's the one right. I'm saying, really. Yeah, yeah. It wasn't a great album. But then again, you know, you might say the same of Booker Stools, but I bet you'd applaud the fact if they gave it away free.
Yeah, I would.
For the fans who want it, yeah.
Yeah. yes, that I do think, you know, that's about how much that album is worth. so yeah, I'm just scared that they're going to, that they're just going to price people out of a lot of this stuff. They need to really be conscious about what they're charging people for this stuff. You know, they can't cry, oh, well, Napster and this and that. And no, now it's you guys pushing people towards streaming because people just can't afford it. We've said this time and time again, kids are not going to spend all their money on an album.
No,
they're going to pay $20 a month to stream countless albums. And that's it. That's just how it is.
Yeah. And some bands, they only produce a few hundred albums now. Yeah, it's not the days where they were selling shed loads. You know, some bands are just issuing a limited edition of a few hundred. And if me and you, Victor, are saying we won't buy them, we're their core purchasers. Audience.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We're the ones. They need to listen to us. They need to listen to your show.
I agree.
Hear what we're saying. We're crying out to them.
We are.
Listen to us, because we want to buy your stuff. Just price it right.
Correct. I agree. We do have one more topic, but we don't have time to discuss it. We will discuss it during a future episode. Jeremy, I do want to thank you for joining me today. It is always a treat to discuss music with you. And for those that are listening, you have your work cut out for you. Check out these recommendations. And if those don't work for you, just check out some of the other albums that I rattled off tonight. So on that note, we will be ending the episode. We appreciate you joining us. And we will see you next time right here on Signals from Mars. See you, folks.
Subscribe to the show on all your favorite podcast platforms like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Amazon, and more. Go to signalsfrommars.com for more information. This concludes our show.